The message I want to share this morning can be reduced down to two words, which are the words be encouraged, which you may not feel encouraged at the end of that passage saying, don't think you know it all. But be encouraged is what I want to speak a bit about this morning. I'd left this morning as a kind of a blank topic because I wanted some space to reflect a bit on our vision day that took place last weekend, but I didn't know until after that day what I might share this week. I'm not going to go too much into the detail of outcomes from last weekend because the leadership team needs to meet first and talk a bit more about that. But I do want to share some of my initial thoughts that I had coming away from last Saturday. For me, I came away feeling very positive and very encouraged about Ruddington Baptist Church. I hope that those of you who came along to that day came away feeling the same. One of my real highlights of the day was the session in the morning when we talked about what we appreciate about RBC. I was encouraged to hear that people value being part of this church. I was also really encouraged by how keen people were for us to pray more as a church, to think about how we can disciple each other more effectively and grow in our faith together. It was also really pleasing to hear not only a willingness, but an eagerness for us as a church to move forward, to try new things, even if that means changing stuff. For those of you who have been part of this church for 20 or 30 years, you might think that all those things that I've just listed are normal, being open to change and wanting to grow in faith together. But actually, having been part of a couple of other churches, I actually feel very blessed to be minister of this church, where people are keen to work together, to pray, to grow, to challenge themselves, and to change when change is needed, because not every church is like that. The day after the Vision Day, I spent some time reading this passage that Mel's just read to us from Romans chapter 12. And it's a passage that I've read quite a few times before. But again, as I began to read this passage, I felt really encouraged about being part of this church. Paul, in this letter, is writing to the church in Rome. He's instructing them on how they should be living as followers of Jesus and as the church in that place. And so this morning, I want to look at what Paul's instructions are to the church in Rome and then think about what challenges we can take away from this, but also what real encouragements it brings to us as a church. And so the passage starts by talking about humility. It says, God's people must be humble. And so what does that mean? It means, firstly, not thinking too highly of ourselves, not being arrogant, not thinking that we have all the answers, not thinking of ourselves better than other people because we have a faith and they don't. It's about recognizing that we are just as in need of God's care and love and support and guidance and help and healing and power as anyone else in the world around us. And so humility is about recognizing our limitations and our need for God to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. But equally, I would say that humility is also not thinking too little of ourselves. I know the passage doesn't say that, but I've often heard it prayed in church, Lord, we are small and insignificant as a church, but you are big and powerful. And actually, that prayer kind of grates with me a little bit, because in comparison to God, we are small. But does God see us in that light? Would he want us to be calling ourselves small and insignificant? If you're a parent, if your child came to you and they said they feel small and insignificant, what would you say back to them? I'm certain you wouldn't agree with them. You would encourage them and help them to see how clever and strong and capable and wonderful they are. You'd help them to recognize their full potential. And so humility is about understanding our limitations and our need for God, but it's also about recognizing the real potential that God sees in us as his church and as his followers. And we should love the church that we're part of. I know one of the small groups recently has been doing a course which is all about loving your church. I don't know what's come out of that course yet, but it'd be interesting to hear from that small group at some point what they found from that. The next line of this passage tells us to think of ourselves with sober judgment. And the word sober could mean a couple of different things. It could mean to think of ourselves with minds that aren't intoxicated. We might associate the word sober with not drinking alcohol, so not being intoxicated with alcohol. But in terms of this passage, to think of ourselves with sober judgment might be to think of ourselves without arrogance or without the words that other people, negative words and opinions of other people going around in our mind. If we think of ourselves with sober judgment in this way, we see ourselves for who we really are. Not so big that we are arrogant and don't need God, but also not so small that we feel useless and insignificant and lacking self-esteem and purpose. It's about seeing ourselves with clear minds as the people that God's created us to be, seeing ourselves with the eyes of God. But sober can also mean just being serious about something. And in this way, that passage would be telling us to take our judgment of ourselves seriously. Don't judge yourself lightly. Don't judge yourself with throwaway comments like, oh, I'm useless, or, oh, I'm amazing. But be prayerful. Prayerfully consider who you are before God, the gifts that he's given you, who he's created you to be, and what you are capable of with God at work in your life. And then humility is then also linked to faith in this passage. It says, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. In other words, our strength of faith affects our ability to judge ourselves with sober minds. If we're struggling in our faith, we're less likely to set aside our negative views of ourselves or our arrogance or our selfish desires, because these are the things we're clinging onto and relying on instead of relying on the faith that we have in God. And so the first part of this passage challenges us to serve God humbly, not thinking too highly of ourselves, not thinking too low of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has given to us. Then the next part of this passage encourages us to be part of the body of Christ and challenges us to take part. It says that we are all needed in the body. The passage says this, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." The passage doesn't say that the body of Christ is made up of a few very capable people. It tells us that we who are many form one body. The body is made up of many different members who don't all have the same function. We're all different, but we are all equally needed in the church. Each and every person is valued. Then verse 5 also tells us that as the members of the body, we all belong to each other. I think that's quite a powerful phrase, that we belong to each other. The body of Christ is a family. We are committed to each other, to encouraging, supporting, serving, and caring for the needs of each other. I was thinking this week that I care for Megan and for Esther because in some ways they belong to me. Esther's my wife, Megan's my daughter. I would do anything for them. In the body of Christ, we belong to one another. We are family. We're committed to loving and caring for each other, whatever that takes. The passage then talks about using our gifts. It starts by reminding us, again, that we are not all the same, that we have different gifts, different roles to fulfill in the body of Christ. It says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." This bit of the passage reminds us that gifts are for using. If your gift is prophesying, then do it. If it's serving, do it. If it's teaching, then do it. If it's encouraging, then encourage. If it's giving, give. If it's leading, then lead. If it's showing mercy, then do it cheerfully. Paul, in this passage, is making a very clear point and a simple point to the church in Rome, that everyone is needed and valued. Everyone is different and has different gifts and abilities. And not to sit by whilst other people serve, but use the gifts that you've been given, because every single person has a gift that they can use, and every single person is needed and valued in God's church. So two challenges so far. Serve God humbly and play an active role in the body, using the gifts that you have been given. The rest of the passage provides an even greater challenge, I think, to show love. But not only to show love sincerely. How can we do that? Well, the passage lists a whole load of different ideas of how to show love. Don't focus on evil, instead cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Honour one another above yourselves. Serve God fervently and with zeal. Bless those who persecute you. Share with those in need. Practice hospitality. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. In this passage, Paul is painting a very clear picture of what a fully functioning Christian community, a church, should look like. A church should be a place where people humbly serve God together, where every single person is valued and needed, where people are encouraged to use the gifts that God has given to them, and where, above all else, the people are devoted to each other, loving each other with sincere hearts. And that includes loving our enemy. It includes caring for those who mourn. It includes rejoicing with those who rejoice. And it also involves showing hospitality to the stranger. So, humbly serve God. Be part of the body and love sincerely. There are some big challenges in this passage for any church. You may be wondering where the encouragement that I talked about is coming from. So why should we be encouraged by this passage? Why was I encouraged when I read this after the Vision Day last weekend? Well, the first reason I was encouraged is because I think we are already a church who humbly serve God. I don't look around this church and see lots of arrogant, big-headed people who think they have no need for God. If anything, we're probably the opposite, and we don't always recognise what we're capable of with God at work in our lives. I was really encouraged on the Vision Day by the desire in the room to seek God, to humble ourselves and to pray, the Bible says. And I think there was that desire to humble ourselves and to pray. I think as a church we're realistic in knowing our limitations, but we also recognise God's ability to do more than we can ask or imagine. And also, I believe that this church has so many servant-hearted people who are seeking to serve God humbly, and I find that really encouraging. And so we should be encouraged by the fact that we are a church who humbly serve God. We should also be encouraged that generally we function quite well as a body, I think. One of my greatest encouragements over the past few months was when I was on paternity leave and I turned up for church and I sat at the back and people just stepped up and used the gifts that they've been given and took on roles that they hadn't taken on before. I was slightly worried that I wouldn't have a job when I came back. But actually this was a learning curve, I think, for the church and for me. For me actually to step back sometimes and encourage other people to serve and use the gifts that they've been given. Because this church is full of so many incredibly gifted people and everyone is needed. I thought it was great earlier hearing from Jemima and Maisie just about what's going on in their lives, but also how they could serve in the church. They want to set up a youth band. I think that's great. Let's go and do that. I think they have gifts and we need to encourage them to use their gifts as well. And so this is a real encouragement to us. I think it's a particular encouragement as well to those who perhaps don't see themselves as being very gifted in the church, or don't really know how they can serve. And I'd say if you don't really know how you can serve, come and speak to me, because I'd love to explore that with you a bit more. But everyone is needed. We all have something we can bring. And often using our gifts does, at first, take a bit of courage, and gifts take practice as well. I remember 10 years ago, the thought of standing up and speaking in front of a church full of people was absolutely terrifying. And the first time I preached, it really didn't go very well at all. I think I've said this before. I spoke for 5 minutes, and I don't think I said anything of any worth at all. You might now think that I stand up here for 25 minutes and say nothing of any worth at all. But still now, I don't always find it easy, but over time, I think this is a gift that has grown in me and is something that I'm a lot more competent at, I hope. And so why not try something you haven't tried? Use the gifts that you've been given, even if at first it's not so easy and it takes a bit of practice. What I would love to see with this youth band is at first they might come and lead a service and it might be a little bit of a challenge for them. But over time, we could see some of our young people leading worship here regularly on a Sunday, going off to university and leading worship in the churches that they go to there, or getting involved in church in other ways. Actually, that's a really exciting vision of what could be for our children and young people. But what about us as adults as well? And then finally, we should be encouraged because we are a church who has such a great capacity to love and to love sincerely. Going back to some of the positives about RBC that we discussed at the Vision Day, we said that we are a family, that we care for each other, that we love each other. There were so many other things that we listed as well. We're a group of people who are devoted to each other, as it says in this passage. And I think generally we love each other very well. We do rejoice together. We do mourn together. We care for those who are in need. We share hospitality. We try our best to live in harmony with each other. We do have to recognise that we aren't always perfect. No church is perfect. At times we might fail to love each other well enough and we then need to make things right. But generally I think we're a community of people who love Jesus and love each other sincerely, and we should be really encouraged by that. And so the message from this morning is firstly to be encouraged. I was so encouraged coming away from the Vision Day last week and reminded of that as I read this passage, that this is a great church to be part of. This is a church full of people who seek to humbly serve God. This is a church full of incredibly gifted and willing people. And it's a church full of people who love God and love each other. And so be encouraged by that. But let's also hear the challenge in this passage. And following on from our Vision Day and moving forward, the challenge is this: we need to remain humble. We need to continue to serve and encourage every single person to use the gifts that they've been given, young and old. And we need to keep loving each other sincerely, because actually love is a choice. We choose to be devoted to each other. We choose to support those in need. We choose hospitality. We choose to rejoice. We choose to mourn. We choose to forgive, and we choose to live in harmony with one another. So let's keep making those choices to love sincerely. So today, be encouraged by what God is already doing in the life of RBC, but also be challenged to keep going, to keep serving, and to keep loving.